Hello and welcome into Brewcast from Maze of Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Luke Yarda here with you, along with Scotty White. Hope you had a wonderful Merry Christmas. We're here with you on Monday, December 26th, headed into Tuesday, December 27th, and we are just a few short days away. I know it's felt like so long, but we are just a few short days away, Scotty White, from Michigan, being back on the football field, headed out to Glendale to take on TCU in the Fiesta Bowl in the college football playoff semifinal. What's up, Scotty? How we doing, man? How was your Christmas?
It was awesome. And we got another present next weekend, getting to watch Michigan in another playoff. And yeah, dude, it has felt like forever since we got to watch Michigan play in that Big Ten championship. But at the same time, you know, it kind of crept up. I'm like, we got Christmas and everything. There's just so much stuff going on. And then all of a sudden it's over and we've got a big football game here in a few days.
We do, man. And I'm just pumped to get back at it, you know, because there is that little lull there. We get bowl season a little bit, and it's been fine, but I don't know. The bowls for me, you know, outside of the college football playoff, unfortunately, have just, I don't know, every single year they just become less and less for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm going to watch some of them, you know, if I'm not doing anything, I'm going to throw some football on. But, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, like the Quick Lane Bowl is, it's not, you know, sometimes some crazy weird stuff happens in them, but there's nothing like those playoff games. And I still like the other New Year Six games, some of the other big bowl games. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to get into these early mid-December ones, but we're going to have some really good games this week and I'm excited.
We are, but, you know, everyone's eyes are obviously going to be on Saturday.
Definitely.
And the, you know, with it being New Year's Eve, it's the good news is Michigan's got the 4:30 time slot, though I don't know if that's necessarily a good or a bad thing, you know what I'm saying? Because, well, could kind of ruin, I suppose, your New Year's plans if Michigan doesn't get it done. We're not going to think that way, but you know that's what the 4:30 time slot does. At least last year, with the Georgia game, just kind of moved on quickly to it being New Year's. You know,
exactly, dude. Yeah, and last year was interesting. It's like the ball's getting ready to drop, and I'm excited for that. And then I glance at the TV, and Michigan's down by 30 points. But we're not going to have that happen this year. And it also, I mean, there's just a totally different feeling going into this game. You know, I mean, last year it was just like, wow, I'm shocked that Michigan is here after what happened last year. Really no expectations going into the season. And like, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. It was like, we weren't all of the goals of the season had already been accomplished. And obviously, you know, we had hope and the goal was to win a national championship, but it wasn't a huge disappointment that Michigan lost to Georgia. Georgia was a hell of a football team. And the feeling going in now is, okay, we knew that we were good enough to be here. We're here. And Michigan's a big favorite. I mean, it's just a totally different vibe going into this game compared to last year.
Oh, 100%, man. It's completely night and day difference. Yeah. And you've laid it out perfectly. We're happy to be there.
Right, exactly.
You know, finally slayed the Ohio State Dragon, finally got a Big Ten championship. But this year, you know, that's what everyone was saying, all the players all year long. You know, they set out their goals were to obviously beat Michigan State and Ohio State in the same season to win the Big Ten championship and then to win a national championship. And that's the thing too, right, is like last year kind of stumbled upon us a little bit. You know, we got some exciting wins, but some close wins, some tough, hard-fought victories at Nebraska and Penn State. You know, those games that were really tight-knit. This year, and it's just been business, right? Like dominating fashion, dominating a lot of good teams outside of the Illinois game and obviously losing Blake Corum in the first half as they're going in to score a touchdown, you know, and he fumbles a ball and, you know, things are close from there on out. Michigan's got to scrape that one to get a victory. That was really the only game that there was any real, I mean, you could maybe point to Maryland. That was a multi-touchdown win. Iowa was a multi-touchdown win. This team, they've been laser focused and they've been very strong with the messaging. They full on believe that they're good enough to win a national championship, where I don't know if the players last year truly believed it. You know, as the year went on, they're like, yeah, okay, maybe we can win this thing. This year, from the get-go, it was like, no, we're good enough to win a national championship. And that's why I think the expectations coming in here, particularly for this semifinal game, are so high.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, that is the end goal this year. And McCarthy's been the leader of it, and he's been saying we're not satisfied. We've got more work to do. But yeah, I mean, it's, you think about this regular season, and obviously, like, for me, when Michigan's playing Ohio State, it doesn't matter what the score is at the end of the game. I'm going to be nervous until I see the clock hit zero. But, like, let's say Michigan has that exact same game against, let's say, Indiana, which, honestly, it was kind of a similar game. Indiana was close in the first half and Michigan pulled away in the second half of that game. But there was not a time in the second half where I was ever really nervous that Michigan was going to lose that game because, you know, it's Indiana. The only game that Michigan had this season where I was really like, shit, we might lose at the end of the game was Illinois. And yeah, to think that that's the one game, I mean, Michigan really had that Ohio State game. I mean, they just had it handled in the fourth quarter. I mean, it has been business. One really close, scary game. I mean, it's just been impressive the type of role that this team has been on this year.
No, it's been nothing short of impressive, man. But yeah, it's feels so weird to have been so long since they've played.
It does,
you know,
yeah.
Like I don't know, that something that I can't shake. And I guess kind of looking at it, and I know I don't put a lot of stock into the bowl games, you know, obviously, but this is just the way that it feels and how long it's been. You know, people like to point at Jim Harbaugh's bowl record, and ultimately, outside of one game, the bowl record doesn't mean anything, and that was last year's game against Georgia.
Right.
But is there something? And I know they've had games where they didn't play. They were close against Florida State in 2016, you know, had the big win in 2015. The bowls got kind of progressively worse. The loss to South Carolina in the 2017 season was, it was just really bad, right? But, you know, I don't know, and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that I'm just like, you know, yeah, they don't really mean anything, but like I can't shake the feeling of, you know, the work is and the focus is from training camp on the season, and once you start at week one, it's really week to week. You get like one bye week in there, you know, but from there on out, it's the next opponent. You don't have to wait that long, whereas now there's, you know, 3 to 4 weeks between your game. You know, how was the time spent? What was it, the same as years past? Because ultimately it just has not gone well under Jim Harbaugh in these games that are, you know, 4 weeks removed from the end of your season, you know, and obviously now this is a different beast and you've got an incredible team. You've got great leaders and you've had a wildly successful season. And there is absolutely something to play for that you had your sights set on from that first day of training camp. But it's also like, does the staff know, right? Like, because this is kind of unfamiliar territory too. Like, they were here last year, yeah, but they also got ran off the field last year. So do they know how to make the most of these 4 weeks? And that's what we're going to find out on Saturday.
Right. I was going to say, I mean, this is really the first, I mean, like last year, it would have been, I don't think that it was a lack of preparation or a like lack of work done leading up to the playoff game against Georgia. I think Georgia was just that much better than Michigan, honestly. So I feel like this is really the first chance that we see the new post-COVID year Michigan in the bowl season. Because obviously we all view this Michigan program there and the Harbaugh era as a pre-COVID and a post-COVID season. Everything has been different and good post-COVID, and I'm really hoping that that continues with the bowl trend here because, yeah, the bowls have not been kind to Harbaugh after his first year. Another one, that Peach Bowl against Florida, too, was god-awful in 2018. I can't believe that I drove all the way to Atlanta for that. but, yeah, I mean, I the thing that worries me the most about the long breaks, and it really comes from baseball. I remember the Tigers would, you know, sweep the Yankees to get to the World Series, and then they'd have so much time off and then get swept in the World Series. So something like that, you know, because Michigan has to be such a different team now that Corum's injured. And it seemed like J.J. and Donovan Edwards really and Colson Loveland, just really got into a groove for those last 2 weeks of the season. And now they've got to take a long break, and you just hope that that doesn't mess up the sync of things.
Yeah, but and then on the flip side of it is obviously everyone's got a chance to get healthy, right? Because there were a couple of guys that were pretty battered and bruised. Obviously, Donovan Edwards was one of them. He could only carry the ball in one hand, and probably his greatest attribute was taken away in his ability to catch the football. So, if he's got two hands coming up here this Saturday, he's even a more dynamic player than what he's been. And he's been incredible in the Ohio State and Purdue games, So that is the good thing. Obviously some injuries amongst the big boys up front that hopefully they can get a little healthy with some more rest and treatment and not having to, beat the hell out of themselves during a game. So there is that flip side of it too. I'm interested to see how healthy Michigan is coming in because yeah, man, obviously we're not going to see Blake Corum or anything like that. But I think, those guys that were a little hobbled, a little injured coming down the stretch here, obviously, if they can return to full strength, it's going to be a massive, massive thing for Michigan.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I mean, getting Edwards healthy and able to be a pass catcher again would be incredible. I think he was the highest graded running back, like the highest graded receiving running back by PFF. That, like you said, I mean, it just makes him so dynamic. And also going back to last year and going into the semifinal game, we were talking about Michigan potentially having 2 1,000-yard rushers on the year because Haskins had already gotten it. Corum was just a little bit behind 1,000, didn't get there. But Edwards, it's kind of the same thing this year. He's at sitting at 872 yards. And the last two games, he needs 128 to get to the 1,000 mark. The last two games have more than that. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on too.
Yeah, for sure, man. But and you've got a TCU team that's coming in that does kind of remind you of Michigan last year, right? Michigan last year, the first team to start the year unranked and make the college football playoff. TCU went ahead and did it, this year. They were unranked. No one thought a lot of TCU and Sonny Dykes' first season. They moved on from Gary Patterson and he goes to Texas, and all the hype is surrounding the Longhorns this year. Quinn Ewers and Bijan Robinson and Xavier Worthy, and TCU just handled business this year, man. And no one believed in them really all year long. I mean, you even take a look at the betting markets, right? And some of those spreads that we saw in TCU, no one gave them really. Much. And I understand it, right? Like they had to mount some big comebacks against Oklahoma State, Kansas State. They were down huge in the first half, came back to beat them in the regular season before ultimately falling to them in overtime in the Big 12 championship game. But, kind of somewhat close victories against West Virginia and Texas Tech. The defensive battle with Texas had to win late against Baylor. So it does that they almost feel team of destiny-ish, which is exactly kind of what we thought about Michigan last year. But a team like this, like ultimately, I think Michigan is the more talented team than TCU. You know what I'm saying? Like that seems to be the consensus. Michigan ranks number two in SP plus. TCU ranks sixth, and the difference is 9 points exactly in the SP plus ratings. TCU, their defense not that great. They rank 33rd in SP plus, 31st in special teams. But my thing is, man, with a team like this, at the end of the day, people talk about intangibles. It's cliche, and I understand that. But Max Duggan's got those, right? Like he just seems like a gamer. When things go wrong, he just seems to make plays, and that scares the hell out of me.
Dude, yeah, Max Duggan is a dog, and he is going to be very tough to stop. But yeah, you bring up a good point. I mean, it really feels like Michigan's in Georgia's position last year. Not a ton of close games, really handled business pretty easily in the Big Ten championship against Ohio State, against Michigan State, their two biggest rivals. They cruise through. And yeah, I mean, 5 out of those 12 wins for TCU were one possession wins. So yeah, that's an interesting point. They really Michigan kind of flipped positions here. And I mean, that's why Michigan comes in as the big favorite. I mean, TCU, I mean, the betting lines, when they were 6.5 point underdogs to Texas, I thought that was insane. But yeah, I mean, I feel really good about this game, just knowing how both of these seasons played out, knowing the position Michigan was in last year. And for this spread, I feel like Michigan around 7.5, I feel like that's a pretty good spread for this game.
And neither team, Michigan is obviously riding momentum, but you don't need the momentum necessarily when you're the better team. The thing for TCU is, and I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing, like you go back to last year with Michigan, right? And going in to take on Georgia, we talked about the break and the fact that we didn't like it because Michigan was riding some serious momentum with the 42-27 victory over Ohio State. Maryland just a thumping on them the week before that. And then obviously beating Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, 42-3. You have the 4 weeks in the reset. Now, TCU, they don't have that momentum, right? Because they lost in the Big 12 championship game. So is that a nice little reset for them that they don't have to ride the momentum? Is it better for TCU that they have this big break to kind of reset and they don't have momentum? Is it worse for Michigan that they did win every single game in front of them, and they've had that, week to week mentality? Now you got to sit and wait. I find that dynamic a little bit interesting too, in the fact that Michigan doesn't need the momentum riding in. Obviously, they were riding some momentum coming off a Big Ten championship, but I don't think it's as detrimental for them to have this break this year as opposed to last year. But for TCU, they're not exactly riding a high coming into this game. So it'll be interesting to see how things start off here, especially knowing how Michigan has started some games here this year, being down, at halftime to the likes of Rutgers.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. And that first, obviously, Michigan in the second half has been incredible.
Right.
But I mean, any lead going into halftime would just be such a relief knowing about those second half, famous second half adjustments from the Wolverines. But yeah, in terms of the Big 12 championship, honestly, I would have much rather had TCU win that game. I mean, you saw Max Duggan in the post game interview. I mean, he was emotional. He had tears because he just wants to bring the school championship. And I mean, that would have been a championship, maybe not the ultimate one, but it would have been a championship. So yeah, they'll definitely be coming in with a chip on their shoulder, knowing they missed out on that Big 12 championship trophy. So they'll definitely be eager for a different one.
And I'll tell you what, man, one matchup that I am chomping at the bit to watch a little bit is Quentin Johnson going up against Will Johnson
Oh yeah.
coming up here on Saturday. So Quentin Johnson, for those of you that don't know, big, speedy receiver for TCU. He's got over 900 yards on the year, five touchdowns, 53 receptions. He's been just really good, and he's a really good deep threat, obviously, for this team. Big playmaking ability, but the emergence of Will Johnson is just a true freshman. He got the matchup with Marvin Harrison, had some big plays in the Big Ten championship game, and he's just playing almost at an elite level right now. So I mean, obviously Michigan doesn't do the thing where he's going to follow him around or anything like that, but when they're matched up, that's going to be get your popcorn ready type stuff there.
Yeah, that is going to be a hell of a matchup. And dude, yeah, I mean, the TCU's offense is really good, and the offensive numbers in terms of points per game and yardage between Michigan and TCU is very neck and neck. I think that sometimes with Quentin Johnson's skill and Max Duggan, people forget that TCU has Kendre Miller, who's got 1,342 yards on the year, 17 touchdowns on 216 rushes. So I mean, they've got every part of the offense. And it's going to be really tough to stop. But when it comes to comparing the teams, it's the defense where Michigan has the big edge, allowing around 13 points per game, whereas TCU allows around 25. But I mean, TCU's got a really good offense, man. I think people really forget about the rushing attack sometimes.
So what do you make of Sonny Dykes coming out and saying on the other side of the football that they're going to sell out and do everything they can to stop the run game for Michigan?
I hope that they do the exact same thing that Ohio State did. Because I mean I was glad to see him say that, because I think that the last 2 weeks have illustrated pretty well that if Michigan needs to throw the ball, they can. JJ's playing his best football right now. So if they don't want to do that and allow if we get a if Edwards gets past the line of scrimmage, then he essentially has a touchdown, yeah, sure, go ahead.
I mean, it's kind of baffling to me. And how much of it is coach speak, right? Like Ohio State and Jim Knowles, like they talked the talk and they walked the walk on what they were going to do, and they got absolutely burned by it. There's no way you watch that Ohio State film and you're to be like, yeah, we're going to put nine, you know, eight guys in the box
right.
every play and force JJ to beat us. Like, there's no way you watch that film and you come away with that conclusion.
Yeah, I was baffled as well. But hey, man, if that's what they want to do, then I really hope they do it, because JJ can certainly go out and win Michigan a football game against TCU with his arm.
Man, and you know, would be interesting, obviously, to see how Michigan counters that. Cleveland Cornelius Johnson one-on-one has not been great. I'd love to see Ronnie Bell get a little more involved here on Saturday. You know, but obviously, you know, hopefully Colson Loveland is back healthy. Kind of went out for a bit in the Big Ten championship game after the touchdown catch. So, you know, how are we going to be able to utilize the tight ends coming in on Saturday? And how much are we going to force the run? Because obviously TCU probably is to begin the game. They're going to start. They're going to load the box. Is Michigan going to be aggressive right out of the gate? They're going to run with a little play action pass, go over the top immediately? Or are they going to try to establish the run game? Because, you know, quite frankly, they've just done it all year. Even when it's not working, they just go to it. They go to it. They go to it. You know, it took a few possessions to get going for Michigan in that Ohio State game. But eventually they were able to break it down. And how patient can they be, knowing what kind of quick strike offense that TCU is capable of? Like, Michigan's going to have to play a defensive game similar to what they did against Ohio State, but they got some massive big play breaks in that Ohio State game defensively, right? Like the fourth down incompletion to the tight end early on in that game. I think Jalen Harrell making that play, obviously the Mikey Sanders still play in the end zone. Like, it's just little plays here and there that made that for Michigan, where if it goes the other way, you know, that's a tight ball game down the stretch. Can they still come up with those plays against TCU if they're going to be patient, trying to run the football and play that grinded out style in the first and second quarters?
Yeah, and I think Michigan's red zone defense, again, it's going to be really, really crucial. I mean, Purdue and Ohio State, they were able to get down there, and when it really mattered most, the defense has been able to come up with big stops down there and force field goals. I mean, that's been a big theme the past couple of years in these big games, and it's going to be big again. I mean, TCU is going to move the ball. Like, they're a really good offensive team. There's a reason that Duggan was the Heisman finalist. So when it matters most, the defense is going to have to come up clutch and get some big stops.
Yeah, man. And I'll be honest. I don't know what to make of the Big 12 here this year. Like, the analytics say they're a really good conference, right? But, and they did, you know, they played a lot of ranked teams at the time, but Texas, for some whatever reason, just kind of hung around the top 25. And I never really understood that. Like, Texas was not a very good football team here this year. They had a close game against Alabama, big whoop, you know, like the big games they played, they got beat. But obviously, like they count Oklahoma as a ranked win earlier this year. Oklahoma was not a top 25 team. Obviously, Kansas, they were number 19 when they played. So that's technically a top 25 win, but I'm sorry. Obviously Kansas wasn't a top 25 football team here this year. Oklahoma State faltered down the stretch. Really the only one, you know, the only team that they played that was really, I think, a pretty good football team is Kansas State, you know, and they ended up splitting them. So I think the schedule, the top 25 wins and everything, I think that's a little overblown for TCU. And this is going to be a step up in class when they take on Michigan on Saturday.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, Texas is a mystery to me. They've got a ton of talent on that team. But like you said, I mean, they're just not that good of a football team. Kansas, I mean, did they even, what they finished? What, 6-6, 7-5? I mean, did they even win a game the second half of the season? So
six and six, man. Let's see here. Let's see exactly what they ended. I know they were bowl eligible like early on.
Oh, yeah. They started off 5-0 or 6-0 or something like that.
Let's see. They lost six of their last seven. And of course they beat Oklahoma State in the middle of that.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I you can count that as a ranked win, but like you said, that's not really a ranked win. I think Michigan is definitely the best team that TCU has faced this year, not without a doubt.
Oh yeah, no question about it. And I do wonder, you know, you think back to some games maybe in like, yeah, you know, like 2017, 2018, 2019, right? Like when Michigan, even last year against Georgia, it just, you could just tell the physical difference in the teams, right?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's what we're going to see a little bit on Saturday, like when Michigan took on Alabama, or last year when they played Georgia. It just felt like Michigan wasn't, anywhere near the opposing team's players in terms of physicality, size, strength, even speed. I mean, I just have N'Kobe Dean chasing down Blake Corum from the other side of the field seared into my brain. But now that Ben Herbert's been in the program and the strength and conditioning program, and a lot of these guys played last year, had a full offseason and have played this year, you can see the difference in the physicality of Michigan, the strength, the speed. I wonder if there, I would imagine there is going to be, especially in the trenches, a real vast difference between Michigan and TCU up front. And I think we're going to see that play out.
No, I totally agree with you. And I mean, that's been Michigan's bread and butter all year long. It's just wearing teams down. And you've been seeing it in the second half when, for example, the Ohio State game, when we have 5 rushing yards in the first half compared to 220 or however many they got in the second half. I mean, and it's all about that strength and conditioning program, the physical. I mean, that's what Michigan wants to do, out tough, out physical everybody. And it's been such a consistent, it's been happening so consistently with how these games are going. They're all so similar. I would be shocked if we don't see that again, where in the second half, Michigan, I really think that in the first half, Michigan's going to have to throw the ball a little bit more. I think that TCU is going to be able to slow them down a little bit. And like you said, they have a good offense. Michigan's going to have to keep up with that. But Michigan's just been able to out physical teams and just wear them out in the second half. And I think that we're going to see that again. And I really expected a dominant second half for Michigan and really a dominant win, to be honest.
What would you say concerns you the most matchup-wise in this game? Is there any aspect that you're like, man, if TCU wins, it's because of this? Like, what gives you the most concern?
Honestly, I think that it really will come down to red zone defense because Purdue was really able to move the ball. And they just, I mean, there was an interception down there. There were a lot of field goals. And if TCU can move the ball like Purdue, which I really think they'll be able to, and they can just finish out drives better, then I mean that if Purdue's able to do that, that turns into a much more interesting game. Same with Ohio State. So that's really what concerns me is Michigan's been so good in the red zone, and I'm like, how long can they keep that up? And that's where it worries me, just thinking about if TCU can move the ball like Purdue and Ohio State and they just find a way to finish out drives, then it's gonna be pretty interesting.
So, like for me, I think my biggest concern is if the game is close in the second half, Michigan's ability to generate a pass rush. Hoping Mike Morris is healthy back, obviously, but a lot of Michigan sacks and their quarterback pressures have come when it's been teams trying to play catch up late in the second half, right? Like when the guys can just pin their ears back. But if Texas or if TCU can keep this thing close into the fourth quarter, and you've got the threat of them running the football, and it's not just Duggan taking it out of the gun, straight drop, and Morris and Yabby can just pin the ears back and get after him a little bit. Can they generate the pass rush in the first 3 quarters? That is my biggest concern, because that's how you're going to stop this TCU offense, is being able to generate that rush, get Duggan off rhythm, get him off of his spots. And now I will say that was my biggest concern with the Ohio State game, and they, didn't necessarily do that a ton, but they were able to make big enough plays, like you mentioned, in the red zone in particular. So, but I think that's the biggest area of concern for me, is because you mentioned it, with the weapons that they have and with Duggan, they're probably going to be able to move the football similar to what Purdue was able to do. So that's my biggest area of concern, but I think Michigan is just going to be so much more physically dominant in the trenches that that's where they're going to get it. Even a guy like Mason Graham is a true freshman, I think, is going to have a great game coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I agree, and that's a very valid concern because there have been some games where Michigan's pass rush has not really shown up as much as we wanted them to. And then I'm also curious, we obviously have the other playoff semifinal coming up after the Michigan TCU game. If Michigan were to win, who would you rather see in the national championship?
Oh, that is a great question. I think Michigan has a better chance of beating them. I think it's Ohio State. If it's from my own mental health sort of standpoint, I want to see Georgia.
Yes, I am on the same page. And I will say too that I mean, Michigan's really handily beaten Ohio State 2 years in a row now. And I would like to see Michigan get some revenge on Georgia from last year too. But yeah, I think that, I mean, we know Michigan can beat Ohio State. They already did it on the road by 22 points. But yeah, I mean, I truly don't know if I could mentally handle a Michigan Ohio State national championship.
I will say this, it is really, really hard to win a national championship 2 years in a row. So Michigan, I think, would have that in favor of them. Alabama, did it, what, once under Saban, or did he do it twice?
I think it was just once, but I'm not
I
100%
thought so,
sure.
but it hasn't happened in a while,
No,
right?
it's all it was always Alabama, Clemson, Georgia.
And Bama's got there.
Yeah. Oh,
You
yeah.
know, and everyone just kind of always expected it from them, sort of thing. So, and it just doesn't happen. It's just really, really hard to do.
Yeah, it is a really tough feat. And yeah, I mean, it was Alabama and Clemson just kind of going back and forth for a few years, and I haven't seen it happen. And it would certainly be tough, but I mean, Georgia has looked real good this year, so if there's anyone
Yeah,
to
so
do it,
they haven't
Clemson.
done it since 2011, 2012,
Okay.
and they had multiple opportunities. They went to four straight college football championships, but they ended in 15, 16, 17, and 18. They went win loss. Like, it's hard to do. So Michigan, I think, would have an advantage there, surprisingly, over Georgia. But I don't know, man. Yeah, just for my mental health, I only want to do the Ohio State thing once a year.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but I will be honest with you. I think Ohio State is going to beat Georgia, and I don't know why. I'm so used to like bad things happening to me as a sports fan that like I'm just expecting it. So yeah, I really think Ohio State's going to win that game.
Support for Brewcast, thanks to our friends at Manscaped. And you can join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by heading to manscaped.com. They got the best products. I use them all the time. They're fantastic. The Performance Package 4.0 got an upgrade, and you can get the Platinum Package 4.0. You get everything that you get in the Performance Package, like the weed whacker and the lawnmower and the deodorant and the travel bag and the briefs. All great, but you also upgrade your shower game as well with the ultra premium body wash and ultra premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner and the aluminum-free ultra premium deodorant. They do it all. It's Manscaped, and we're going to get you 20% off and free shipping anywhere. Just head to manscaped.com, insert promo code MNB20. That's MNB20 for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Scotty, before we let you go, Michigan wins Saturday if.
I know I sound like a broken record here, but Michigan wins Saturday if they hold TCU to field goals in the red zone. And I am so adamant about this because I'm looking back on all of the big games the past 2 years for Michigan. That's how they've won, and that's how they've lost. That's how they lost to Michigan State. That's how they beat Ohio State. That's how they lost to Georgia, even though Georgia kind of kicked their ass, but they didn't settle for field goals. That's how Michigan beat Ohio State again this year. I just think that's how Michigan beat Purdue. It's been so crucial, and I expect it to be very crucial again.
For me, Michigan wins if they just don't turn the ball over, man. I think they're going to be able to dominate up front enough to be able to run the football, generate 4 to 5 yards a carry, and they'll be able to hit some play action passes. They'll score. I think, the red zone efficiency has been fantastic in the last few games. They're scoring touchdowns. All they have to do is just not turn the ball over. You know, have a lead. That's how you let a team back in it. That's how you give the team a lead, and you're playing from behind. Just don't turn it over. And I think Michigan is the better team. And generally, when that's the case, as long as you don't turn over, you're going to win the football game. So that's what I think. Michigan just has to take care of the football and play their game coming up on Saturday. Scotty, where can we find you on social media?
You guys can give me a follow on Twitter at Scotty White underscore. And obviously, it's a huge week. Mason Brew will have tons of stuff coming out. So make sure you guys check us out.
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Giardi, LukeGiardi. And make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. And as Scotty mentioned, man, we got some great stuff coming up this week. Let's bring in the new year the right way with a Michigan victory and a chance to play for the national championship. For my partner, Scotty White, I'm Luke Giardi, and we'll see you next week on Brewcast.